Joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Okay. How are you feeling today?
Feel better.
Better. Good. Glad you sound better.
I'm not.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Shame you could shabble the wish you take beat he lower he moved he moved he lower he moved. The shame you'd have about hey. The Yehuda Shalim Bashem call Israel. Limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vahino Amadunay Elohino Alena Masaya Deno Kanane Elena Masaya Deno Kananehu. The handout you'll find on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. In class 37, I believe it's 4D. It's class 37C, which is chapter 36, section 4D. Rabbi Akiva. And that's where we will be starting. First thing is, I have a commentary. This analysis of Rabbi Akiva's name will be helpful to you in your own analysis of your name. The analysis of your own name is the best tool we have to learn about your complete tikkun. In my opinion, the sages also agree, since you can find their statements supporting people doing this analysis and discovering how to do this on the Hashem website.
Randala
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are beginning. My master told me that one of the mitzvahs that Rav Dimi was very careful about was that of accompanying guests and the dead. This is also true of Rabbi Akiva. My teacher told me that the end letters of Or Zaruas Latzadik, Yishrei Lev Simcha, this is the Kol Nidre phrases, and the translation is, light is sown for the righteous, and for the upright of heart, gladness. The end letters of these words spell Rabbi Akiva, Resh Aleph Kuf Yud Vav or Bet Aleph. Because this verse is talking about him, this proves that Akiva is spelled with a hey at the end and not an aleph. The concepts in this paragraph are juxtaposed because they have an underlying relationship. Serving guests affords relation to the upper Shekhinah. Abraham was outstanding in having guests. Once, while in midst of conversing with Hashem, some guests came to his door. He politely excused himself and took care of them. Kabbalah explains that he was talking with the lower manifestation of the Shekhinah, which comes from Malchut. Serving guests affords relation to the upper Shekhinah from Bina. Therefore, did he set aside one for the other? My commentary. It is important to learn from the above paragraph that there are different levels of Hashem, and we need to know which level we are dealing with. Until you know which level of Hashem, you limit your spiritual growth. This is especially applies to the levels of meditation. Yet it also applies to lower levels of Hashem's interaction as well. When someone speaks to you and your reactions are extremely negative, and you stay bothered by the incident, knowing which level this person's actions are coming from helps you resolve your own spiritual cause and effect. Wayfarers have no set place. Measure for measure, one who takes them in is given a tremendous surrounding light that is not settled into the world because it is too great. My commentary. Surrounding light is meant to become inner light. The vessel is too small to hold this level of light, so the light meant to be inner light becomes surrounding light until the vessel is of sufficient size or capacity. While being a surrounding light, it acts as a protection shield. Accompanying the guest takes the manifestation a step further. He is sent on his way back to a state of on the road, no settled place. But now, together accompanied by the upper Shekhinah, measure for measure brought through the one accompanying him. The same applies to accompanying the dead, which helps accompany their soul to its resting place above. Energy equals MC squared. Nothing is ever really lost. However, from our lower perspective, things can go lost. In order to restore everything, one needs to ascend to the all-encompassing surrounding light outlook. My commentary. The code here is to build the capacity of the vessel so that the surrounding light becomes inner light. Every level has its own internal and surrounding light aspects, but the Cain root is especially attached to surrounding light. Moreover, Cain is a wanderer. A geir, a convert. Geir is also used in the sense of a sojourner. He so is a foremost Cain character. Through this mitzvah, he draws the surrounding light and from it makes up for lost time. Shmuel says, I wrote the same thing in my book, Chachmat Nashim. I corrected a get, a divorce document, with what I felt was correct to write Akiva with a hey at the end. Shmuel says, even though my father and master concealed his words here, I recall once hearing from him in private that there is a hint in this verse to the closeness of his soul to the soul of the great Rav, our teacher. He said that this Yitzhak refers to the great Rav. They further hinted to the name of my father and master in this verse. Behold, Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem. The Chet from Chazeh, the Yud from Zion, the Yud from Kiryat, and the Mem from Moadenu spells the name Chaim. It was not possible to build Jerusalem during the time of the great Rav. He told me that it was not possible to build Jerusalem during the time of the great Rav, but that it was possible to do so during the time of my father and master. If Israel were to do Teshuvah, my father and master could have been Mashiach ben Yosef. But the process of purifying and elevating the sparks was not advanced enough until the following generation. It was to this they hinted, your eyes will see Jerusalem and not my eyes. The eyes of Rav, who himself is hinted in the verse, these were the words of my father. I could see that my father was quite afraid that the nations of the world shouldn't kill him. This is because he was murdered by them in a past lifetime, as described above. This too passed, and as a result of the sins of the generation, he left this world in the same manner as the first miracle that occurred when our teacher, the great Rav, died. Part of the miracle was that he was not murdered again, but instead died naturally. Providence saw their special efforts and advanced their rectification to a higher level, so they didn't have to go through this. This is what it says, and he was in conceived, from the language of all mankind is kotsev, deceitful. And he was in Kitziv, says, by Judah, the son of Jacob, who was in this place while his wife gave birth. The same paragraph in the Torah tells of what leads to the birth of the Mashiach root. The message of the Torah is that the original mistake of Adam caused that the greatest truth, the messianic spark, fell into the hands of the Sitra Achra, which is called Chaziv, falsehood. This caused that all mankind is, quote, saved, deceitful, and this caused that the Arizal could not be Mashiach, and that the following generation did not merit to Rav Chaim Vital being Mashiach. Nonetheless, there is more than a ray of hope to this pivotal scenario of history. When God wanted to create existence, the quality of truth objected. For man, the center of it all, would end up being full of falsehood, instead of heeding truth's seemingly truthful claim. He cast truth to the ground. The intrinsic truth is eternal, unchanging, and unaffected by its opposite. The seal of God is truth, and the truth of God is forever. The divine truth is so deep that it supersedes and encompasses the seemingly opposite. To give truth to Jacob, yet when presented with the challenge of dealing with Laban the trickster, Jacob was not concerned and said, I am his brother in trickery. The intrinsic truth is eternal, unchanging, and unaffected by its opposite. Moreover, this itself is the greatest truth, like the advantage of light from amidst darkness. The truth that will bounce up from the ground and emerge from the darkness of a world full of falsehood will shine most brilliantly. Mashiach is the master of this dynamic, and so is it found by the inception of the messianic root being revealed in the world. In an old printing, it says that he died in 1535. Which is an error. Later on page 149, it says he died in 5332. My commentary. Can you guess why this sentence was placed here? To teach that the year of death is also a clue to the level of the tzaddik. Just as his age at death teaches something similar. As an example, someone who dies at 52 is connecting to Malchut, as does someone who dies at 65. Which of these is a higher level relative to the other? I will leave to you to determine. My father and master also told me that in one verse there is an allusion to his name and mine, to make known the closeness of our souls. It says, O hu yichye, will survive when samach mem vav el misumo el imposes these. And there is an allusion to Chaim and Shmuel, Yechieh comes from the same root as Chaim, which is life. And Samach Mem Vav El, Misumo, shares the same letters as Shmuel. If I can muster up the strength, I will write in this book, God willing, many of the instructions that our teacher, the great Rav, gave over to my father and master from the day that he knew him until the day of his death. I will show them to you so that they will not be collections of that which is forgotten. I have hidden them with me in separate works. Regarding Heber the Kenite, my teacher taught me that this is the secret of the verse, and Heber the Kenite separated from Cain. For Yethro was from the root of Cain, and Heber was from the grandsons of Yethro, and so from Cain as well. Thus he was called Heber the Kenite. Cain was a mixture of good and evil, and Yethro refined the food from the waste. That should say good from the waste. And separated the good from the evil. The bad remained with the Klipot, while Yethro took the good. Therefore it says he separated from Cain his root. That's the end of the section about the Akiva. Does anyone have any questions? I hope you understood the tools that you have been given in this section to understand how to approach your own name. Samson the Mighty is section 4E. With respect to Samson, my teacher said that this is the secret of the verse, that God sent Yerubbaal and Badan. The sages say that Dan refers to Samson, for Samson was a reincarnation of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron the Kohen, and thus Badan has the same letters as Nadab, but in reverse order. Dan means din or judgment, the source of the Philistines. This is the secret of the words of the Maharal, that Samson has some inner connection to the Philistine roots. The verses clearly say that Providence set up his relationship with them. This was only in order to facilitate his elevating the sparks from them. Their death was instrumental to drawing the Shekinah down in the consecration of the Mishkan. The type of tikkun that Samson is involved in relates to Nadav and Abihu. They brought Ketoret, the incense, the highest offering in the Holy of Holies, the highest place, in order to draw the loftiest energies that can reach down to the lowest places and elevate the farthest away sparks. It did not fully work because such a tikkun requires that they be married, which they were not. They died, but their death was instrumental to drawing the Shekinah down in the consecration of the Mishkan. Samson wanted to do the same type of tikkun, but he tried to the opposite approach from the other end of the spectrum. Not only was he involved in marriage, but he connected to the lowest places through coupling with Philistine women. He was partially successful, for it infiltrated and subjugated the Philistines to his people, but he ended up suffering because of it. There are many classes of Birurim. The ones that involve them penetrating the dark forces are dangerous. Even those such as Nadav and Samson that are equipped en route for such soul maneuvers are not able to be saved from suffering flak from it. This is also the secret of the opinion that Samson has no portion in the world that is coming. For he said, let my soul die with the Philistines. The Cain, the din root, is the ultimate source of the Philistines. The world to come is all chesed, The original thought was to create within. Shimshon ascended to this higher place, above the regular level of the world that is coming. How can Din be greater than Chesed? Even though Chesed is all good and giving, its flow is more mellow, as opposed to the flow that comes from Din, which is extremely intense when it is transformed to giving. The beginning is embedded in the end, and the world will end up ascending to the original thought. The simple level of the world that is coming will be all Chesed, but this is only the least of what is in store. It will be a springboard for something much higher, the intense, powerful delight of sweetened in. Most will be based in the lower Chesed aspect and taste from the higher aspect according to their merit. Unique individuals like Samson will merit to be totally focused directly on the higher place. Thus, Nadav died because he didn't want to marry, believing that not one of the daughters of Israel was fitting for him. Therefore, Samson was punished, as the sages say, by having to procreate with the Philistine women while he was in jail. Furthermore, because the sons of Aaron entered while intoxicated, Samson was a Nazarite from birth to rectify their sin. On both accounts, he was involved in fixing Nadav and Abihu. The lack of marriage was a lack of spreading out in Chesed. The intoxication was a spreading out too much in Givurah. A full tikkun of anything must be fixed from both right and left sides. This is an important aspect that I should have made a written comment about. Continuing, the connection with the Philistine women was suffering for Samson. It cleansed him from the negative part of harsh din and left it by them, which is part of the cleansing process. It goes back to Nadav and Abihu, who were on an extremely high level and accepted upon themselves an intense degree of din. This alleviated judgment from the rest of the people, and there was still a residue of it fixed by Samson. Regarding Elijah, my teacher said that he is alluded to in the verse, Im lelatzim yalut v'la anavim yeyetein chayin. If one is drawn to scoffers, he will scoff, but if to the humble, he will find favor. Since the head letters spell Eliav chai, Eliyahu chai, Elijah lives. There are no characters that are more determined to truth than scoffers, no more detrimental to truth than scoffers. Elijah comes only to bring close truth and to distance falsehood. There are no characters that are more detrimental to truth than scoffers, for they depreciate truth and make it look worthless. Elijah is a zealot who stands against them and reveals the greatness of truth, even though he is not any more apparent to the living. The verse hints in its acronym that he is still really alive and well and working in the grand process of manifesting truth. This links with the above about Samson, who was zealously subjugating the intense din of the Philistine falsehood. That's the end of section 4E. Does anybody have any questions? The teacher and spokesman for chapter 36, section 4F. The The Zohar says that even though Moses was the teacher of all Israel, his interpreter was Aaron the Kohen. As it says, he will be a mouth for you. Since Moses had a heavy mouth and a heavy tongue. My commentary. This translation is incorrect. The Torah says that Moshe is an Elohim and that Aaron is his Navi. Navi is always used to describe a prophet. Elohim is used to describe the angelic leaders of the nations. Moshe is a prophet for Hashem. Aaron is a prophet for Moshe. This is exactly like phase two and phase three of the four phases. The four phases is taught by Rabbi Ashlag, and it is recommended that one study the four phases on the Hashem website to further their study of Kabbalah. The Brit, the covenant of the flesh, and the Brit of the tongue. The concept of the Brit is the medium of relation to another. The source, of course, is God creating a world and choosing to relate to it. The point of the giving of the Torah is to show this relationship. Moses is the channel of the gift of the Torah. He was so healed by the giving of the Torah from his list. The tikkun of the giving of the Torah was disrupted by the sin of the golden calf. In this sense, the relationship of Hashem to his world was impaired, and Moses, the channel, automatically suffered. The thousand lights that were given to him were taken away. The final redemption will not only restore the level of the gift of the Torah, it will also further enhance it. Even in the imperfect state of Moses' lack of oratory, the divine message can come and relate through the concept of an interpreter. He stands a rung down and delivers the light to the people in a way that they can accept. This is the one of the ways that Elijah dispels falsehood, by his eloquent ability to bring the light down and feed it to those on low levels. My commentary. In my opinion, it is hinted to in the above paragraphs that the prophecy of two levels of people after Mashiach. One level will be able to fly, indicating mind over matter, while others are still doing animal sacrifices and Torah study and able to reach the higher level. In the end of days, in the generation of Mashiach, Moses will return to teach Torah to Israel, and will still be of uncircumcised lips. In accordance with what is said, Ma Shehayahu will be. Moshe, however, Elijah who will live, will be his interpreter. And this is the secret of the verse. Pinchas, who became Eliyahu, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen. This is as it is written. If one is drawn to Leitzim, scoffers, he will scoff. Leitzim derives from the same root as the word Melitz, meaning an orator or a spokesman. When they will need a translator for Moses, Elijah, who will live, will translate and be Moses' spokesman. My commentary. In my opinion, one level of this kind of interpreter is happening in our world right now, where the intellectual elite uses vocabulary that needs to be explained and interpreted to the lower levels of people, even when they are educated. Thus, Elijah, who is Pinchas, who is a Kohen, takes the place of his grandfather, Aaron the Kohen. In the order of the seven grand shepherds of Israel, Aaron identifies with Hod. Hod is the source of the power of speech, which is revealed in Malchut, which is the mouth. It is actually the last Sephirah, Malchut and Yesod being but inclusive of what is above them. It means splendor, Its job is to constrict and transmit the supernal splendor to those below. Through this, above and below unite, and all bounty flows and is revealed. Elijah equals 52, twice the tetragrammaton, and this hints to his special power to bring divinity on high together with what is beneath it. This is the end of the section. Are there any questions? Abaye. Likewise, in regard to Abaye and Rav Bibi, his son, my teacher taught me that regarding the verse, "Behold Zion, the city of Moadenu, your eyes will see Jerusalem." If the mem of Moadenu is changed to a yud, as per the rules of Atbash, and Atbash is a form of letter permutation in which a letter can be exchanged for its partner on the diametrically opposite side of the alphabet. There are secrets in this method as to why a given permutation comes out specifically in this way. Then the head letters will spell Yitzhak. My master already explained to me to whom this name refers. My commentary. Do you see how this substitution works out? It is the head letters of the phrase Tazeh Tzion Kiryat Moadenu. Here is the full verse translated into English. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemn gathering. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a peaceful habitation, a tent that shall not be removed, the stakes whereof shall never be plucked up, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. One can realize that Yitzhak will see Jerusalem, a peaceful habitation. The Zohar says Yitzhak is a metaphor for the soul after the tikkun, after Mashiach. Yitzhak has the meaning of the all corrected souls, in my opinion. I'm going to take a 5-minute break, and then I will return. I apologize, but the diuretic is calling, and I want to finish this today.
Has joined. has joined.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Chokhmah Uvara Bo Nekevim Nekevim Halulim Halulim Galui V'Idui Lifnei Kisei Kivodecha She'im Yisatem Echad Mehem O Imi Pateach Echad Mehem Yishar Le'itkayem Afilu She'achat Baruch ata Adonai Rofei Kol Besar Mafli La'asot. And I hope you all say amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I heard a couple of additional people join, but I'm not sure if that was because they got dropped and they were calling back in or if they're new. So we're about to finish our study of advanced reincarnation. We're in the section of 4G. The name Abaye, and Abaye is the final redactor of the Talmud. And I'm continuing to read. Abaye is hinted to in the head letters of a verse from Isaiah, Ahel Baal Yitzan Baal Yisa, the tent that will not be displaced, not moved. And Rav Bibi, his son, is the head letters of Baal Yitzan Baal Yisa, that will not be displaced and not moved. My teacher did not want to reveal to me why these matters were mixed into this verse. Above, the Arizal explained that Abaye is from the Cain root. The principal dynamic of this root is wandering and not having a settled place. The point of this wandering is to uproot people from the perspective of thinking that this world is, in terms of itself, is a settled place. The only real settlement for the soul is to be by Hashem. And this is the idea of I walk before Hashem in the land of the living. My commentary. Remember, this physical world is not where we ultimately will reside. There are many sages and tzaddikim whom have taught that our home is in the spiritual world of Zeranpin, and we are just tourists in this physical world. How are you enjoying your vacation? The temple is special in that it is a settled place for divinity, to dwell in this world with us. Through it, a person can achieve a real stability, even in this temporal passing plane. Therefore, the establishment of the temple depends upon the fixing of the Cain root. Abaye, a major hitter of the Cain root, accomplished this through his Torah learning. So he became a tent that will not be displaced. This also explains the Talmudic passage about Abaye at first learning in his house and then coming to the realization that it is better to learn in a house of study, which is a miniature form of the great temple. As we find that Hashem expressed his travels with the people prior to the temple's building as being in a tent, and I have been wandering in a tent and a tabernacle. Even after the destruction of the temple, the house of study and prayer provide an established base for a concentrated revelation of the Shekhinah. Abiah significantly enforced the decree of the base establishment and revelation through his exalted level of learning. This is also the secret of what Abiah tells of himself, that at first he would learn at home. After hearing that learning in a house of study is not speedily forgotten, he set himself there. Abiah's son Rabbidi continued this tikkun in the nuance of ensuring that it would not be disrupted. This is the idea behind not displaced and not moved. Bibi is the same as Abiah, except that it is Abiah's Aleph becomes a Bet. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Bet. It has in it the hidden potential of all. The Torah comes to bring actualization to the universe, and so does not start with the Aleph. Bet is the first letter of the Torah and the second letter of the Aleph Bet. It literally means a house and represents that the purpose of the creation is to make a dwelling place below. The universe is a place for godliness to substantially manifest. Abiah channeled the choice energy of the Cain root and opened up wellsprings of potential. Rabbibi extended the Aleph of his father's work into a concretizing Bet, paving the way for the building of the third and final temple, which will last forever. This is also seen in the gematria of their names. Abiah equals 23. Bibi totals 24. The name of Malchut is Adonai. It is the vessel of expression for all levels. And this comes out through the 24 permutations of Adonai. The Son completes the Father's accomplishments. Abiah especially associates with the paternal potential aspect. He was an orphan who never saw his parents. He so became his own father and was outstanding in this category. Abiah is Aleph Bet Yud Yud, the father of Yud Yud. This is similar in style and in concept to the Torah's title for the month of Nisan, Chodesh Ha'aviv, the month of spring. Aviv lends to be rendered Av Yud Bet, the father of the 12 months. They are all included in the first month of Nisan, and the first 12 days actually correspond respectively to each month of the coming year. To the extent that one can actually see from what happens to him on each day what will happen in the parallel coming months. Similarly, Abiah fathers the coming revelation of divinity from the Cain root in the Mashiach proportions. The Yud is the only letter that is a point and does not reach to the bottom of the line. The two Yuds represent the seeds of potential above and below that the Father sows. My commentary. Learn this well, since the idea of the Yud being a point and potential applies to every word where a Yud is part of the letters. The Talmud tells that Rabbibi once wanted to see demons. He followed a suggested formula, saw them, and was damaged by them. The rabbis prayed and he was healed. Later, the Talmud tells that he did the mitzvah of reading the weekly Torah portion with the Targum, the Aramaic translation, all in one day for the whole year. And this relates to the opinion of the Bet Shammai, who maintained that one must light all of the 8 candles of the Hanukkah menorah on the first day. We do like Bet Hillel, who holds to start with one and work our way up in gradation. My commentary. The machloket between Hillel and Shammai over Hanukkah lighting relates to the idea of light coming down to the level of Malchut first, while the vessels are at the level of Keter first. Thus, lighting one candle the first night is not the correct light for that vessel, and thus does not become the correct light until the correct vessel, until the eighth night. Shammai perceives that the correct light goes into the correct vessel on the first lighting. Since the world is always perfect, we can understand this idea as it relates to the damaging and the healing of Rav Bibi. There are countless stories to be told about each of the rabbis. The select accounts that the Talmud does relate about any given rabbi have some intrinsic connection to his soul root. My commentary. This statement also applies to each of us, who we meet, who we choose as a mate, or a teacher, or the type of job, or where we live, and many more questions. Learn this well, as it causes you to become aware of why we do what we do. This means our unconscious is being revealed to our conscious when we learn the answer to this question as why we do what we do. The whole array of the Sitra Achra comes down from a source in the left side, the attribute of Gevura. It is the place of Cain, and as stated later in this chapter, he accordingly especially connects with such energies from his negative side. Seeing something gives a certain aspect of rulership over it. From this comes the concept in general of the evil eye. Rav Bibi, coming from the Cain root, was aspiring to fight fire with fire and look at the dark forces in order to exercise a measure of power over them, to thereby subjugate them. Even though he bit off a bit too much to chew and was damaged, his efforts certainly made a big impression in this area and helped to subdue those energies. My commentary. In spirituality, even when you lose, you win. Learn this well. That is why there are no mistakes on the spiritual level, and the physical world is always perfect. The Torah is the life force of the universe. Each week's existence is channeled to the world via its respective Torah portion. This is the idea behind reading the portion. The Aramaic translation read along with it helps to constrict the existing force into a bit-sized portions, allowing it to be drawn into every detail of reality. The Torah itself is in the holy tongue and is drawn directly to fuel the holy. The Aramaic Targum is the source of the mundane, and reading it funnels energy to the mundane. In our generation, should we read the Torah in our own language, like English, instead of the Aramaic? Not if we understand the teaching in the above paragraph. Should we add English to the Aramaic? I will leave each person to answer this for themselves. Rav Bibi's source in the Cain root from the world of Tohu also inclined him to cram and do much at once, as opposed to little by little. He so originally approached this mitzvah as an all-in-one enterprise and read the entire Torah with the Targum in one day. Even though he was corrected and began to do it week by week, his first approach imprinted in the world the ability to do things from the great lights of the Tohu root and draw them into the vessels of the predominant world of Tikkun. This is the Mashiach theme that is taught in Hasidut, a continuation of his father Abaya's endeavors. As mentioned, he extended the Aleph potential of Abaya to the Bet, the house of Bibi. My final commentary. This is the end of our classes in advanced reincarnation. We recommend that you review these classes again and again. Why? since the way for you to know your tikkun and your soul root is hinted to within these classes. We will bring our animal classes into this time slot, and we will be teaching other materials in the Sunday morning time slot. What is that material is up to you, and let me discuss this with you. Actually, I'm going to be transferring the Psalms class from Friday morning to the Advanced Reincarnation class Sunday evening. And that way we'll be able to complete the Psalms, since we have been adding the Aliyahs, the reading of the Torah, to the Friday morning sessions. Does anybody have any comments about these last sections or questions about the Advanced Reincarnation classes? Thank you for joining with me all along. I hope you take these teachings to heart. We will do them again in another year or two. Or three,
has joined.
Because there's always more to learn. I bid you all shalom gadol.
Shalom gadol. Thanks, Hanok.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.